All right, let's look through the window of baseball, and we're going to do it for Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors, and bring in our good friend from the San Francisco Chronicle, and that's Bruce Jenkins. Bruce, how are you today?
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Well, Madison Bumgarner's going on. I think that's the best way to put it. Bruce, this guy just goes out there, and this may be his best season yet, and this kind of looks like the World Series every time he goes out there.
Yeah, it's so refreshing to see a guy like, you know, like this, or like this. There aren't any really guys like Bumgarner exactly, but a guy who's just all about endurance and toughness and going deep in the games and playing the game tough and right. And you know, because you hear so many red flags about pitchers, that, you know, the tightness in the elbow, he may have to sit out, you know, this and that. And Bumgarner's a guy you can really rely on,
and he seems to like to hit.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah, that's you know, it's how often do you? I mean, people are going out to the park is for as many reasons to see him, but you know, right at the top is they want to see him take his cuts. You don't go get a hot dog when he gets up there.
No, you sure don't. Hey, Bruce, just Marty and I were kicking it around, and I know this is a debate that's been flamed up over the last couple of weeks, but Bumgarner batting in the home run derby, and then the Giants just produced the Bumgarner bobblehead for tonight, and it's not Bumgarner throwing the ball or barking at an opponent. It's him batting.
Is it?
I want to see the guy swing in San Diego. What does Bruce Jenkins want?
No, absolutely. Have a pitchers only round there. You know, let him take a couple rounds. I mean, you got Arrieta once in. There's a lot of guys who can hit. You know, Kershaw, Greinke, and is it interesting that they're among the best pitchers in the game? I mean, those four guys I just mentioned, you could say they are the top four pitchers in the league. And I'm sure Mike Leake would probably want in. There's a lot of guys who would have no problem teeing off on 70-mile-an-hour batting practice fastballs. I think it'd be great fun. I've heard that MLB would really like it to happen. I mean, we're kind of closing in on it now. They got to make a call one way or the other, but I would love to see it happen. Just for a lot of reasons, I just think it'd be great for the game. It would be great to show that pitchers can hit, because you hear so much, you know, belly aching about the, you know, there should be a DH in both leagues and all this nonsense, and I think it'd be great.
All right, well, that's a good argument. I hadn't thought of it from that perspective. Maybe that's an anti-DH argument.
Yeah.
It is.
I like that, Bruce. See, that's a good angle. I hadn't thought of
that. Bruce is smart.
Hadn't thought of that. But we are at that point of the season now where some teams, you know, they got to start making a move, and some, you know, that separation is happening. And you get that feeling there's trouble in New York with the Mets, Bruce. I just have that feeling that Steven Matz's elbow hurts, Syndergaard's elbow hurts, Cespedes got a cortisone shot, and Terry Collins called Jay Horowitz a puppy dog.
God, what a psycho idiot he is. I mean, Jay Horowitz has been around for about 85 years. He is the Mets. He's more Mets than anybody.
Wow.
And here he is, you know, just trying to do his job. And, and Terry Collins goes, well, the puppy dog here, you know, screw you, man. Jeez. I mean, this is horrendous. But, you know, Terry Collins is on edge right now because his pitchers are breaking down. They're hoping that Zach Wheeler would be ready. He's not ready. Just as I said, it's so refreshing to have a guy like Bumgarner who just, he's so old style in so many ways. But, you know, the Nationals are, I wouldn't say they're crumbling, but even through it all, the Mets are only three games back, I think, two in the loss column, because Washington's having some trouble. So, you know, I don't see the Mets completely falling out of it, but they're having a pretty rough go right now.
Bruce Jenkins here on the UMA guest line, Marty, Pat from the Public House. And the Cubs are coming back down to earth a little bit. And here goes the Giants, 7-up on the Dodgers. Jake Peavy went out. And, I mean, I wouldn't say he dealt last night, but he only allowed two earnings. He did pretty good. And the story about him losing $15 million to an absolute leech. These guys go out and take advantage of these big league ball players. Mike Kruko came on Wednesday with Murph and Mac and said that absolutely had something to do with Jake's poor start this year. What do you think, Bruce?
Well, I think it would have to. I mean, he found out in spring training, I think. And, you know, you're feeling like a complete heel. You're what the hell have I done? You know, when is the public going to know about this? And what are people be cheering me in other ballparks? And they didn't. I mean, it just came out recently. But just even if nobody knows about it, to realize that you're out 16 million. I mean, every time I'm out 16 million, I don't know about you guys, I'm a little bummed.
You know,
all the four or five times I've been bilked out of 16 million. But I mean, and you know, he's such a fierce competitor, such a grinder, you know, and he's got so much passion. He's gotten through it. You know, he's gotten through the rough start. I think he's probably, you know, come to grips with what's happened in his mind. And he's probably getting a lot of support from his friends and family and everything. And he really, you know, it just shows on the field. I love how Bochy let him get through the seventh last night and walk off after that inning was over, not in the middle of it. Just a great story. And I hope that that continues, because there's not a better guy in the world than Jake Peavy.
Agreed.
Yeah, boy. And, you know, the big three now could be Bumgarner, Cueto, and him. And so, honestly,
yeah,
honestly,
who knows?
I mean, Samardzija
will be back. He'll throw a gem pretty soon.
Well, Monday night he gets the A's. So,
yeah, I'll be out there. That should be interesting.
What did you think of the end of the game last night? We had Tyler Goodell on earlier. I don't know if you heard it, but an interesting kid from Mountain View, the area. He went to St. Francis High School, and he got the walk. And he said it was so weird because Osich threw two balls, and then he was out of the game, and then they brought Guerin in. And he had to go to the dugout and look at the scouting report. And then he comes up in the ninth inning with two out, and he hits that little topper to third. I thought it was an amazing end of the game. And he had his whole family, you know, a million people in the stands for him.
Yeah, I mean, that could easily have gone down as a game-winning hit, infield single. I mean, the play Pena made was just sensational. I'm thinking, well, maybe he bare hands it, and you know, and the ball lands right in his hand, so where he can get off a good throw. I think that probably crossed his mind for just a split second, but then he thought he could get him by gloving it. But just a tremendous play. I mean, so much pressure. The bullpen's kind of falling apart. You know, the lead could be vanishing.
Nice.
I should say a game tying hit, but unbelievable play by Pena there. Really, you know, just considering everything, he's replacing Duffy, and he's been very, very good. And then he makes that play that people are going to remember for a while.
Yeah, 31-9 over their last 40 games. The Giants have been, and they've been doing it without Pence and without Duffy, as you mentioned. Even Kelby Tomlinson's been on the DL. Matt Cain with the hamstrings. Hey, Bruce, are you getting that feeling, or am I kind of getting into football mode where I overreact to things?
No. I mean, I've liked this team from the beginning. I thought it was going to be a two-team race with the Dodgers, and that the Giants would prevail. And they're 31-9. You see that note, you guys? It's their best 40-game stretch since 54 in New York.
Yeah.
When they went to the series. I mean, it's a fantastic thing. I think, you know, despite all the injuries and guys coming through, you know, the bullpen has been great. Last night, not so much, but they didn't cough up the game. But you know, these young guys are starting to come around. Bochy trusts them. The bullpen looks deeper than it has all season. And you know, I think that's a huge thing. But it's just a club full of character. You know, there Ken Rosenthal had a story about the Dodgers, and they had this big meeting after they lost two out of three to the Giants, and it was all about, you know, what the Giants do and what they don't do. You know, that was pretty interesting that they, you know, it wasn't just a team meeting and about general things. It was like, you know, the Giants are where it's at. And, you know, they had a good stretch right after that. I don't know if it was coincidental or not. They lost in Pittsburgh last night. But they're not going to be the Giants this year.
No.
They just aren't.
No, they're not. And I'm starting to feel the Mets are not going to be the Mets this year either. And, you know, it's happening. You know, Bruce is exactly right. We've talked about this coming out of spring training. We both agreed that the Giants, this was the strongest team we had seen in a while, and mainly because of the pitching additions. But you have the haves and have-nots in this National League. And the Giants are into the have-nots right now. And you're going to put a couple more teams in that have-not category. Bruce, this 31-9, I mean, if the Cubs did it, they would be printing World Series tickets right now. You know, believe me, they'd be going nuts. The Giants 31-9, very quiet. They got a chance to go 41-9.
I mean, they've got more games with the Phillies, and they got four with Oakland and three with Arizona. Then they close out
Colorado,
the All-Star break with Colorado and Arizona. I mean,
Arizona, right? Yeah.
They
go to San Diego.
A 10-game lead at the end of the by the All-Star break.
Yeah,
it's interesting. I think it's just under the radar, but it's been a lot of fun. A lot of fun to watch it. So, Bumgarner tonight and Jeremy Hellickson. Then, how do you think the Phillies feel? Hey, Phillies, guess what? You lost 10 of 11, and tonight you get Bumgarner. Tomorrow you get Cueto.
Wow.
Yeah, well, this is what it's like when you're looking up from the...
Yeah, they had their moments.
Yeah, they do. They've got some kids. The Phillies have some good young players. They got a shortstop. I think his name is Crawford, who eventually will be up, and he'll probably make some noise. But they're, you know, it doesn't seem that long ago that Rollins and Ryan Howard and Cole Hamels were, you know, leading those guys to glory, and they're in that mode now where, you know, there's a big deal about, you know, are these lower class teams going to just tank and get the good draft pick and all that, which is really discouraging. I don't think many teams are going to outright tank. I mean, guys are competitors, but they just don't have the talent to keep up with the teams like the Giants and Washington and the Cubs right now.
No doubt about it. Hey, Bruce, I had a chance on Tuesday to talk to Ryan Vogelsong and then play it on my morning show, The Shower Hour. And there was a couple of notes. One, that he wants to pitch here at AT&T in mid-August as the Pirates come. And I wouldn't bet against him on that. And then another little note, I asked him about the kid for the Rockies who beamed him in the face, Jordan Lyles. And I said, have you talked to him? And he said, no. And he was very disappointed that the kid hadn't reached out to him. And then I asked him if he'd be willing to wear a mask on his face when he bats, like Giancarlo Stanton. He said, sure. And then I said, well, what about one of those soft caps that the typical pitchers or people in the field wear? And he said, no, he would wear one of those. He'd never wear a hard hat because he didn't want Jordan Lyles to think he got the best of him.
Well, yeah.
I mean, first and foremost, what kind of donkey doesn't reach out to the guy you bean in the face? To me, that was shocking, Bruce.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that lately. There's been a lot of guys hitting the helmet, and you see guys, you know, they'll go down into a squat and kind of put their hands over their face, like, God, what have I done? Or they'll actually go right up to the plate and you know, see how he is. But, you know, these guys who just stand there like, yeah, that's right, you know, yeah, that's completely wrong.
Yeah.
And it's as if, you know, yeah, you know, it just got away from me, whatever, you know, get up. Which is, that just sickens me. I like it when pitchers react to it, that they screwed up, they feel bad, and you should, you know, away from the public eye, contact the guy if you really, because you feel terrible about hitting the guy in the head. You know, you're talking about life and death here, but I agree with Vogelsong on the hard hat thing, or the soft padded caps, because if you do wear one, it means that it's front burner on your mind.
Yeah.
That you, that more than anything, you don't want to get hit in the head out there. And pitchers can't think that way. It also looks completely ridiculous. and a lot of guys, that's big for a lot of guys, too. They want to look cool out there. They're adults playing a kid's game. They want to look cool. That's a big part of it, too. But more than anything, it speaks to your maybe obsession with not getting hit.
Wow. Boy, good segment, Bruce.
Great.
Back tomorrow. Let's take a look at the American League tomorrow. David Price, what's happening to him?
Yep.
Cleveland Indians are kind of grabbing hold of this Central.
Eight in a row.
Salazar has been pitching great. Carrasco, a complete game today. And let's look at the East a little bit, too, as other than Boston, what's going on. And then Texas is winning with that, and they don't have any pitchers. I don't know who's pitching for them these days. So we'll take a look at the American League tomorrow and catch up with you tomorrow. But I appreciate you being on.
Yeah, sounds good. I was just in Cleveland, so I'm kind of paying attention to what the Indians are doing. That's really fun. Next thing you know, they'll win all the titles. Cleveland, every sport, all Cleveland, Cleveland, Cleveland.
Wouldn't this be something? Seriously, how crazy sports can be.
I will look forward to it, guys.
All right, thanks.
All right, thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
Yeah,
right.
And tomorrow we'll have to plug Bruce. He's got a book appearance tomorrow.
Is he still there? Bruce, you still there?
Bruce, you still there, bud? Bruce has got a book appearance at 2 p.m. tomorrow at San Rafael Store, 850 4th Street. And it's for Bruce, you there? What did Cody, what did you just say, buddy?
You there, Bruce?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey,
yeah,
Bruce, tell us about your book appearance tomorrow.
Well, it's not a great thing for Giants fans. It's at 2:00 on a Sunday with the Phillies in town. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's appropriate to bail out San Rafael. But I'm going to be at Copperfield's Books in San Rafael tomorrow at 2:00, talking about my new book called Shop Around, about the music that changed my life, the Motown and Stax, growing up in a home full of Sinatra and my dad's whole thing with Sinatra. So I had a lot of fun doing it, and I'm looking forward to being out there and signing some books.
Congratulations on another fantastic book. That's awesome, Bruce. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, guys. Thanks a million.
Awesome.
All right, that's Bruce.